Good evening, folks. This is Jamie Williams, writer, co-owner, co-operator, whatever the hell else my title is, over at ThinkMcFlyThink.com. Welcome you to Movie Moan, our weekly podcast. And sitting next to me, of course, is my partner in crime, my good buddy, Mr. Phil G. Say hello, Phil.
Happy Super Bowl, everybody. Not that it means much to people in the UK. It means diddly squat, actually. But I hope you all had a lovely Super Bowl.
Well, thank you. So you're not, I mean, is there any way for you to be able to watch this in the UK? Is there any channel that's going to show it?
Probably Sky Sports or something.
Would that mean you get the commercials or just like, it
no,
would just
no,
be
No,
like,
no, we wouldn't get the commercials. It's not like that.
I don't know. That's what I was, you know, wondering. But speaking of which, you know, a lot of Super Bowl film TV spots have already hit the net, and in the last 24 hours or so. And Phil has some interesting opinions on it. I say interesting in a good way. So Phil, just go ahead and rip into it, good sir.
Okie dokie. Well, Jamie and I were discussing just before we started which of the big three was the best, and the big three were Star Trek, G.I. Joe, and Transformers. Coincidentally enough, all Paramount movies.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Paramount owns me. They seem to own everything else this year. It's just nuts how many movies they've got coming out. They are the big player this summer. And
yeah, it's going to be their summer.
Yeah, I don't see how it couldn't possibly be. So I'll start with, well, we'll start with Star Trek, shall we? I didn't like the TV spot. I didn't like the TV spot.
Oh.
And I loved the trailer. We saw the trailer that came out at Christmas. Jamie and I absolutely fell in love with that, and we are so psyched about this movie. It is my second most anticipated film of the summer, behind Pixar's Up, which is my most anticipated film of the year. But I'm really excited about Star Trek. This TV spot, and you know, I don't want to get too critical about it because it's just a 30-second trailer, for God's sake.
Right.
But I just didn't like the whole teen angle. The music was a little too rock and roll, had too much of a Top Gun MTV kind of flavor. It didn't feel very trash at all.
All three of those TV spots actually are like that, if you notice.
Yeah, I guess so. And it's
maybe it's the Paramount Viacom
angle.
Also,
the dialogue they chose, you know, the whole angle of, you know, Kirk. I assume it's Kirk's father in that spot saying, "Oh, you got to be a good man. Oh, you got to make me proud." Oh, it's not his dad. Well, whoever the hell it is, you know. I just didn't like that. Too cliche.
Okay. I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, I'm not really expecting much out of these TV spots. You know, they're fun. I mean, they're 40 seconds long. I mean, they're to the point, full of action, shiny looking shit, and you know, explosions and whatnot. So that's all I'm expecting out of them, and you know, they delivered on their promise. They spent a lot of money on these things, and you know, from the looks of it, I'd say it was money well spent. It'll be interesting seeing what are going to be the TV spots in general, including film spots as well as just like regular, you know, commercial selling, you know, erectile dysfunction pills and sodas and beer and whatnot. What'll be considered the really great commercials tomorrow morning? What everyone's going to be talking about? Because that's always fun, more so than the game.
Which
of course, there's some
to the next one.
Yes.
I have no doubt the one that everybody is going to be talking about because
they're
already talking about it is the Transformers spot.
Yeah, now, it's a good spot.
You see, and folks, this is coming from somebody who hated the last Transformers movie, didn't you, Jamie?
I still hate it. It's terrible, but you know, it is what it is. The second film from just, it's probably going to be more the same, so you can already tell what I'm going to think of it. But hey, I mean, again, they're trying to sell this to the average, to the general public, and they really don't need to. Of those three movies, that's the one that needs to the least. I mean, I'd say that and Potter are the two films that can literally just put out one trailer like 2 months before the release date. Give the release date, and that's it. And then people will show up, and it'll make a bajillion dollars because they've already got – people already know what to expect from those films, and they've already established their fan bases, so they're safe. They're fine. It would be Trek and G.I. Joe and other things that I would be more concerned about pushing. So they didn't need to do this spot, but it was smart to do it nonetheless.
Well, they do need to remind people, the average Joe who doesn't go on the internet, that there's a new Transformers movie coming out. So they need to do something. But I kind of agree with you. I, you know, on the strength of this TV spot, they don't even have to release a trailer, as far as I'm concerned. They just have to show this, and people are ready to go. I mean, I'll tell you something, Jamie. I didn't love Transformers 1. It had a lot of problems, and I am not convinced in any way. In fact, I'm pretty certain that this movie is not going to be any better. In fact, it could be much, much worse. I am convinced that the movie is going to be to Transformers 1 what Bad Boys 2 was to Bad Boys 1. That is to say, incredible balls to the wall excess. It's just that you will not be able to decipher a plot or a single piece of character development.
Does that mean it's going to be like 3 hours? Does that mean it's going to be like 3 hours
indeed,
long?
Indeed, I would not be at all surprised. Well, the first Transformers movie was 2.5 hours, which
was.
Oh wow. Yeah, it was. I swear to God, it was.
I believe you. I remember very vividly, you know, looking at my watch during the whole screening, waiting for it to end. And sometimes there are movies that are not nearly as long as it feels like they are. And I don't seem to recall whether or not. I mean. It certainly felt like a 2.5-3 hour movie, but I don't remember.
It was 140-something minutes.
God.
Yeah, it was. You go to IMDb if you like. You'll find out exactly what the running time was. But anyway, I'm basically, even though, yes, it will be complete excess, and the statements Michael Bay has been making have done nothing to say anything to the contrary. In fact, he's embracing it. He's saying, there's going to be so much happening in this movie. I'm not thinking about Part 3. I'm not saving anything for Part 3.
I like that.
Which I like as well.
I love that. The man's got his head on his shoulders in that sense, because that's what was so just god-awful about the Pirate sequels, where, you know, they literally just threw money at the screen, and then with all these huge plot holes, and they'd say, oh, don't worry, we'll solve it in the third one. You know, and then the third one comes along, and they don't do it. They totally didn't solve, you know, they did not do that whatsoever. And no one held. I don't think people held them accountable to that. And maybe they. Yeah. By the time they got to the third one, people did say, "Okay, I'm sick of this. Like, you know, when's this going to start making sense?" And you know, when it didn't, people started. You know, that's when people lost faith in that franchise, I think.
Not that Transformers as a franchise is being as ambitious with its story and its characters as Pirates was trying to be, but I.
Yeah, I do. I will say I do like Transformers a lot more than I do the Pirate sequels, but that's not saying much. But I will say. Yeah, but I will say that much. So,
and the award for faint praise goes to Jamie Williams.
Thank you.
But I think it certainly seems like not only is Michael Bay not thinking about Part 3, he probably, I'm pretty sure, doesn't want to do a third one. He's going to make the Transformers film to end all Transformers films.
You actually think they're not going to do a third one, period. You've said this in the past. So
true.
That will be interesting if they do or don't. I mean, you know, I think this one's going to probably make more money than the first one worldwide. I don't know about domestically, but definitely worldwide it's going to make more money. The first one made about
– weekend, no doubt.
Yeah, it's going to be a regular three-day weekend, but I don't think it's going to break like – there's no way it's going to break like the opening weekend record of Dark Knight or anything. But it'll certainly be like an $80, $90 million opening weekend.
You never know. Never underestimate the power of giant robots. And on that subject, the thing that everybody is talking about, Jamie, and you know what I'm talking about, is the last shot where –
Yeah.
Now, first of all, I saw it on a crappy YouTube screen, and I couldn't really make out what the hell was going on, and it made my eyes pop. Then I saw it in high definition, so I could actually see what was going on. And it's a shot of what appears... It's definitely Optimus Prime, that much I can tell. He's tiny. And now, we know Optimus Prime is a huge robot, and yet he's tiny in the frame of this giant robot, which kind of looks like just a big wheel. It kind of reminds me of a He-Man toy that I used to have. It was a big wheel with arms, and it's just smashing through something. I don't even know what the hell it was. And I'm discussing this with people on another message board, and everybody's convinced that it is Devastator, who was one of the Transformers. He was one of the Transformers that actually was five smaller vehicles called the Constructicons. They were Decepticons, bad guys, and they all merged together to form a giant, giant robot. And, you know, I'm not sure – people seem to be convinced that this is only one part of Devastator. It's just like his foot or something, and there's still another four of them that will all join together and make the biggest robot you've ever seen.
It could be. I mean, apparently the title Revenge refers to like a evil like Satan figure. Well, it's Transformers. I think I am Transformer illiterate. So I, you know, someone has to fill me in all the
characters.
I know, when I went to the first movie and I knew that there was Optimus Prime and I knew Bumblebee. That was it. That was pretty much it. I knew the villains were called the Decepticons. I knew that. Okay, so that's three things I knew. That was it.
I tell you, man, I don't even know that much. I know the characters. I know certain things. I know I've watched the animated movie far too many times. So I know the character relationships of most of the basic characters from the original series. The rest of it, for example, I don't know jack about Beast Wars, and I could care less about Beast Wars, even though that has many, many, many fans. It's nothing to do with me. What I do know is the Constructicons, and I know that, and I know nothing about the Fallen. I never even heard of the guy. I assumed when they said Fallen, they meant all the Decepticons who fell. Literally in the last movie, but apparently that is not the case. It is some giant thing that, and of course they released a teaser poster of this scary looking face with red eyes, and I don't know what that is. Apparently that is the Fallen. It doesn't matter anyway. All I'm saying is giant robots sounds good to me. Got my eyes, got my heart pumping. Jamie, I also loved when I was a kid G.I. Joe. I don't know
I
what you
too.
Thought of. Yeah,
I loved G.I. Joe. I did. Oh, shit, yes.
Well,
and,
you have zero faith in this movie, do you?
I don't have much faith in this film. I think, what can I say? I mean, so, not everything should be made into a movie just because, you know, like, oh, look, so-and-so works, so we should do, like, Transformers works, so we should get other 80s cartoon series into, you know, $300 million tent poles. No. To be fair though, that TV spot, Super Bowl ad for G.I. Joe is not terrible.
It's not.
But I'm not sold on this movie though, because, you know, also this week there were pictures released of the characters, the villains, and it's like, wow, that looks so just, not crazy about it.
I know. Look, stand back. Are you ready?
All right.
Are you ready?
Yeah, all right.
I have such mixed feelings about the trailer. Look, I wasn't expecting much from a G.I. Joe movie. The second they hired Stephen Sommers to direct it, I knew immediately, okay, this is not going to be a kind of Batman Begins or Casino Royale start for a franchise. That is just not going to happen. The man is the grandmaster of cheese. On the other hand, I did enjoy his Mummy films. Despised Van Helsing, but I enjoyed his Mummy films. They were exciting. They had, you know, characters that I cared about, but that was mostly because he cast good actors. And certainly from what I'm seeing in G.I. Joe, a lot of the actors he's casting, if you could call them actors, I'm not particularly about, but you know, I like those movies, and they had action that where you could see what was going on, which sometimes you can't say for Michael Bay movies. For one thing, he said, well, no, actually, I'll rewind, I'll start from the beginning. I remember when they first said they were going to get Stephen Sommers to do it, he asked for like a huge amount of money, like $10 million or something. They said no. The studio said no, and he said, well, I'm not going to do it. And then a little bit later, they renegotiated, and he was directing it. And from that moment on, the warning bells went off.
And he got 9.5 instead.
Did he? good negotiation there.
Yoke.
That was great. Well, even in any case, that made me frightened, because obviously this is a guy who's doing it for the money. Now, obviously, any director who takes a job, they're doing it for the money. Of course they're doing it for the money, but if he says immediately when they say, would you like to direct G.I. Joe, he says, give me $10 million, I don't think that's the right guy to give it to. It sounds to me like he has zero passion to do it, and he doesn't care at all about G.I. Joe, and he's not going to make a movie that in any way resembles the G.I. Joe movie that we want to see. So I'm a little bit frightened about that. The black outfits, it's retarded. Now, when I first saw the posters of the characters with the black outfits, I just thought it was lame, because that is the cliched way to go. If you can't figure out an interesting way to put these admittedly unrealistic costumes into real life, then you just go down the black leather route, and it's boring. It's just boring. It's X-Men 1.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember when the pictures were leaked on Ain't It Cool News back in, God, it must have been like late 99 of the characters in costume, and people freaked out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I never had a problem with that look. I remember thinking like, eh, well, you know, they're right. You can't just go in yellow spandex. It looks silly. So, I mean, you know, to be fair, I mean, we could have had like them wearing those blue outfits and having like all
They don't have spandex outfits. They all have their own military fatigues. It's not very unrealistic clothing, really, apart from Shipwreck, who I admit, if he was in this movie, you might need
Let's just thank God Sergeant Slaughter is not in this movie.
No, I will not hear that kind of talk, Jamie. You shut your goddamn mouth right now. He is the best. And Serpentor, this I command. Wow. Serpentor is the best. We won't go into that. Maybe in a sequel, if it ever gets to a sequel.
It could. I don't know. It's a little too early to know, man. I remember saying, like, privately, like, if we don't see a trailer by Christmas or a teaser, there's something's up. And, like, I mean, I will say, I mean, yeah, they're putting it out now, but I'm still just wondering, like, you know, they still should have had they should have done this a little earlier. Maybe, but maybe it's like Star Trek. Maybe it's just like, you know what, fuck it. You know, we know what we're doing. You know, fuck you.
Well,
Jamie.
Also, don't forget they're all three of these movies, they're Paramount movies.
Yes.
So they've got to be very careful. They've only got so many top-notch marketing people in their department, and they've got to figure out a plan how they're going to market all three of these movies without all of them getting jumbled up. Obviously, they decided, in my opinion, they couldn't get a trailer out for Transformers 2 for December because they didn't have enough.
They're making that movie by the seat of their pants. Again, they didn't need to, though. And that thing's been shooting for a while, so they were fine. You know, the other two needed it more.
They decided the one that needed it the most was Star Trek, and I would agree with that. And of course, G.I. Joe is an August release. It's not coming out for ages yet. So they got more time.
Well, it's February now. I mean, so we say ages, but...
It's the first of February.
We're gonna blink, and it's going to be time for us to review Wolverine on Movie Moan out loud. So, I mean... You know, this will go by fast.
You tell me it's my journalistic duty to see it, and then
I think it's one of those things that if we do a show, there's certain movies we should probably see to get people our opinions on, at least out loud when we do a podcast show like this. I don't want to see it either, quite frankly, but, you know, people are going to wonder, like, hey, what did you think of this? And, you know, it'll be one more thing for us to talk about. That's just my opinion.
I'm so depressed now. I'm going to have to give fucking
You don't have
money.
To. You don't have to. You can always get someone to give you like a bootleg copy.
No, you're right. I will not break the law. It's
important. Or you know, you could avoid breaking the law and just go on Movie Pooper and just someone have them reveal the ending. You know, like the night it opens.
No.
That's what's great about that website.
but then I won't be able to talk about how wonderful Liev Schreiber and Ryan Reynolds are in the film because I've only seen their performances.
Oh, really? Okay. So I'm just – the Ryan Reynolds thing, I don't see it. Like, I don't dislike the guy, but I'm not like, ooh, Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds should play every smart-ass superhero.
Well, we talked about that last week, so we won't get sidetracked with it. All right. Back to G.I. Joe, the villains, I was never concerned about how the villains were going to look. I remember back when they first said they were going to make a G.I. Joe movie, people were getting so excited. Oh, Cobra Commander and Destro. And I thought to myself, you guys are kidding yourselves if you think they are in any way going to look like how you remember them. First of all...
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. First of all, they are clearly going
to
get
Destro. Let's just get to Destro. I mean, it's like you want a guy with a talking metal head.
Well, it doesn't work. It's one of those things that was designed by a comic book artist and then by a cartoon.
It works on a comic book and a cartoon because it's outlandish. You don't expect realism in that shit.
No, it's a metal head that moves like an ordinary person's mouth. It doesn't work in live action.
And that would have been insanely expensive to pull off. Like, we would have been talking like Benjamin Button dollars here.
Yes.
Actually, I wouldn't have been that expensive.
With
wouldn't have been that expensive, but
no.
Still.
No, I guess not.
That's an expensive movie, goddamn. Hmm.
I just, you know, I had visions. If they give him the metal head, he's going to look like that guy in Flash Gordon, you know, the one with the gold mask.
Oh, yes.
That's how it's going to look. Because unless I'm mistaken, and the technology in metal masks has moved on in the last 20 years.
That was That was the late 70s, like 70, you know, they probably shot it in 79. And, well, actually, it came out in the Christmas of 1980. So, yeah, probably shot it in 79, but they probably spent 2 years, like, working on it. So we're probably talking, like, 77, 78 the earliest. So, yeah, surely.
So Jamie knows his Metal Mask knowledge. That's very impressive.
Exactly.
But Cobra Commander, I mean, well, we don't know what he's going to look like at all. But he's going to look like...
Well, the voice is going to be just like, how's that going to sound? Because I remember an interview...
No one can do that voice.
I don't know, dude, because, like, someone said, like, I remember, like, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, the young actor playing the soldier who turns into Cobra Commander, was saying he's going to try to pull off the voice, or try to, was the key term. I was like, yeah, I'd say, well, you know, he's trying, what a trooper, you know.
That's, wow, I didn't know that.
Don't hold that to me, man, you know, but okay, I could have sworn I do get my facts wrong when I read shit. I generally try to keep up with, you know, when we do the show and we do, like, any particular article about who to give credit to. Because it annoys the shit out of me when, like, someone breaks a story and then, like, the official trades get it out and then they don't give them credit for it. Like, it happens so many times, but the one that comes out, that comes to mind is the most recent example where, first showing, like, 6 or 7 months ago broke the Keanu Reeves Cowboy Bebop casting news. And then just, like, 2 weeks ago, Variety, quote, confirmed the story. Or, you know, quote, broke it. And it annoyed the shit out of me because I'm not a big fan of first showing. But at the same time, it's like they broke it. They deserve props for getting that news and they didn't get it. And that just annoys the shit out of me.
I know. It's a dirty, dirty industry. But,
indeed.
You know, We're a tiny cog in it right now, you know. It might happen to us someday.
Yeah, there is that chance.
Then imagine how pissed you'll be.
Well, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. So where was I? Cobra Commander, yes.
Yes.
So I knew for a fact, there's two Cobra Commander looks. There's the guy with the bag over
his
head. The big towel with the eyes cut out. And the metal faceplate. Now, if you're going to get anybody, there's no actor worth his salt who they're going to cast. They are going to cast a name for Cobra Commander, and they're not going to want to put their face behind a
He's
you
not
know,
much
a,
of a name, though.
No, but no actor.
I don't say that meanly now, mind you, but, you know, he's not much of a...
No, I understand. I understand what you mean, but it's a chrome plate with absolutely no expressions. It's not like the mask in V for Vendetta where there's an actual expression and you can do something with that and you won't mind wearing the mask.
Basically, what you're saying is you would have...
Absolutely nothing.
So what you're basically saying is you would have preferred Hugo Weaving to play Cobra Commander.
Everything. I've been saying, like, for years he should play Serpentor. It's great because the guy looks like he was genetically created to be the greatest green villain ever. Where does that voice come from? No one else could do that. He's
God.
Genetically created, I'm convinced.
I'm assuming God, you know.
It's true. It's absolutely true. He's got a little bit of Orson Welles DNA in him and lots of other things. And
good idea. Good comparison. True.
I think so. And that was not going to work. And then there's the other the look with the towel over the head. Well, look, I've seen photographs of people at a G.I. Joe convention. I've never been to a G.I. Joe convention. I just want to make that perfectly clear. But I've seen pictures of people dressed up as that look of Cobra Commander at a G.I. Joe convention, and it looks fucking ridiculous. So
that's
going to be on the cards either. So
Is so awesome to hear, actually, that there are people who do that.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow. Like, I'm a nerd. I'm the first to admit that. Some things I will never fucking do. And dress up as a character, never going to happen. Ever.
I swear to God, people have dressed up as Destro as well, with the full metal head. You Google
I might
it,
have seen,
look for pics.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think I've seen pictures of that, but it's like, good God, man.
And it doesn't work, she'll say it.
Good dignity. Clearly these people have never kissed a member of the opposite sex.
Well, they wouldn't with a Destro head on them, would they? It would be very difficult.
Yes, it would.
Yes, boom, boom. Thank you very much. I'm here all week. There we go.
But,
so anyway,
have
I'm
never
concerned about that. What's exciting me about the movie? I'll tell you what's exciting me.
All right.
And then I'll tell you what's scaring the hell out of me. And I'm sorry I'm taking too much time on G.I. Joe, but...
Dude,
you know,
no.
I feel very strongly about it. Okay, what's exciting me is that Summers has said that he has been very highly influenced by the James Bond films of the 1960s. He specifically said that there's an underwater battle in this movie, which you see a shot of in the in the TV.
Does that mean it's going to be like Thunderball, where it's like
fucking... Yeah, that's what he said. He said he's trying to put the underwater battle in Thunderball to shame, or that's not the batch one, it.
You know, see, that's not the thing you want to put to shame in terms of the Bond films. You want to put to shame like Goldfinger, or the trainway scene in From Russia with Love. The scenes that everyone loves, not like the scene that everyone acknowledges is like really boring and they drug the shit out of it. Like, hey, how many more?
Oh, Jamie.
I'm sorry, dude. Thunderball's a great movie, but I mean, we got plenty of underwater shit in that movie. We don't need to have someone emulating that. Well, oh, you disagree with that? Oh.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, well, by its very nature, underwater combat is going to be a little bit slower. It's slower pace because they're underwater. And, you know, that was revolutionary at the time. No one had ever seen that. They decided that, I guess, well, if we're going to do this, we better spend a lot of time down here. And, you know, it's just silly. So they spent a lot of time down there. I loved it. But anyway, he says
Let's be honest here. If there's any Bond film from the 60s that Summer should emulate towards, and I think you can agree with me on this, it should be You Only Live Twice.
Absolutely.
That's the one, man. That's the one you want to go out and you want to emulate to. It's just so fucked up. Because people don't realize that's a crazy movie, just in general. Not just as a Bond movie. That's just a fucked up movie.
And I actually think that Cobra lived in a volcano. Kano. I could be wrong about that.
Cobra Commander can be like Blofeld in that movie where he's basically a pedophile or just some kind of sex pervert. No, that's what he is, though, dude. You look at it and like they go for like so many different angles. Yeah, but not on here. So many different angles for that character, and like that could be Cobra Commander. He could be kind of like the sex pervert. Blofeld.
Well, maybe in a sequel. Certainly, Ash. Well, I just don't know what to say. You see that movie on levels that I don't. I just see a guy with black piranhas. That's all I see. But anyway, in this movie, they've decided clearly that the villain's going to have an underwater base, which is nice. We haven't seen that in movies for a long, long time. And God bless someone for having the balls to do something that gigantic, because obviously we can't see that in a Bond movie right now because they're going down a different route, which is fair enough. So clearly the climax of G.I. Joe, it seems to me, is going to take place in this underwater lair. And if they do something that really captures the spirit of a 60s Bond movie in all its excess, then, you know, that makes me excited. I'm really excited about that. On the other hand, Jamie, I've been saying this. When the full trailer for G.I. Joe comes out, I guarantee you there will be, within the day it comes up, about 50 remakes of that trailer set to the theme song from Team America World Police. I mean, it's weird how the spoof came first. I don't know if Trey Parker and Matt Stone were influenced by G.I. Joe when they made Team America, but I'm pretty sure they must have had an inkling about it. But
those Brooklyn movies, really.
It is. But here's the thing. In that movie, in the opening sequence, I specifically remember one of the characters fires a bazooka at a terrorist. The terrorist ducks, and the missile flies into the leg of the Eiffel Tower, which then topples on its side like a lamppost in a really bad model shot, and falls on the Arc de Triomphe. In this TV spot for G.I. Joe, some green slime eats away one of the legs of the Eiffel Tower, and it falls on its side like a lamppost, just like in Team America. Now, from what I can see, it doesn't land the Arc de Triomphe, but for fuck's sake, you can't do that. Well, they are doing that, but you can't. Couldn't you have picked a different landmark? For God's sake, you need to distinguish yourself. You need to make sure that you're not the live-action version of Team America World Police. It's so sad. It's tricky that the...
Apparently that doesn't bother them.
apparently not, no. And, they don't... I'm a crazy person, and I don't know what I'm talking about, but...
We all are.
Oh, my God. I just think that is so... I just think that's going to make people laugh. But, again, you know, I think I'm the only person who's bothered by it from what I can see so far. No one else is making that comparison. Everyone else is just seeing, Snake Eyes, yeah, sword, bitchin',
dude. Yeah, there's plenty of Snake Eyes. Let's see Snake Eyes the whole movie. Well, it's like, guys, he's a mute, he can't really say anything. Well, we'll have him do sign language. He's like, yeah, but, like, that's not very, you know, you can only do that so much. And you're just like, have him fight somebody. You know, getting Ray Park to play him is like, you know, it's one of those things that's kind of like when fucking Patrick Stewart was cast in X-Men, it was like everyone was saying, like, well, obviously you know who you have to cast, you know.
Yes. It's true enough.
And they got him.
Look, he looks fine. It's Snake Eyes. I mean, there's a close-up of his mouth, which appears to be all rubber, which is not really convincing me. It looks a bit retarded. But at least he's all in black. He's a ninja, and he's in black, which, you know, helps, because your ninjas are, by the very nature of what they do, stealth-like creatures. They have the power of the stealth. As opposed to the chap he's fighting, who's clad all white. I believe his name's Storm Shadow. Now, true enough, in the show and in the toy and the comics, Storm Shadow was all white as well. But that's something they could have changed. He's only ever going to be stealthy in the snow. No, it's just stupid. See, I'm very passionate about G.I. Joe.
There's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that, sir.
But anyway, that's all I was going to say about G.I. Joe. It's we'll see what happens.
Have you seen any of the other TV spots real quick before we get into a couple of other news items for the show?
I saw one, and it took me a bit of effort to see it. Of course, I saw the spot for Pixar's Up. And
I haven't seen that.
Well, just to give you a little rant for a second, Jamie, I'm on Ain't It Cool News, and I see the Super Bowl spot for Pixar's Up.
Yes.
Oh, well, Up's my most anticipated movie this year. I'm going to see that spot. I click on the Disney website, and I get the message, for content that is available in your area, please go to DisneyInternational.com. It's another one of those fucking websites like MTV, where people from Europe click on it and it won't play for them because they're not in America. I don't understand it.
What about YouTube?
It's fucking retarded, Jamie. It's fucking retarded. Well, exactly, I had to YouTube it, but my point is, if Disney want us looking at their stuff, which they put on their site, why don't they let everybody on the world wide web look at it? MTV actually get quite a few movie scoops and videos and exclusives.
Frankly.
But I can never click on their stuff because, you know, I live outside the US and their stuff will never play for me. It's just retarded.
That's fucked up. And I'm not, I mean, you know, wow. Didn't know that, actually.
It's true. But anyway, I went on YouTube, MTV. I saw the spot, and it's basically the trailer with a shortened version of the trailer we saw, you know, the little kid's hanging outside the house while it's flying. He says, can you let me in? And he says, no, and then closes the door. So it's basically the same, nothing new, essentially. So it wasn't really worth the effort, but still dying to see it.
Awesome. So that's the only ones you... Because I have
interest in Fast and the Furious. I've never seen
it. Well, I saw it just like... I mean, again, I saw it to say that I've seen it, and that's it. And I've seen it. Enough said. You know, moving on. I mean, you know. All right, you know. I guess that does it for Super Bowl spots. I know there's going to be more that have yet to be leaked on the internet. Warner Brothers ones and 20th Century Fox ones. We know that they'll probably have a war. Actually, Fox also. Last I heard, they're kind of keeping the hush hush on which films they're going to be representing at the Super Bowl. So we'll see what happens, man.
But there is one film that they are representing now, isn't there? Let's talk about that.
Fuck. Okay, I was about to say, what are you talking about? And it, you know what? It's listed. It's on my list right now of like number two news item. That's right. Pretty much the news item. Like the moment Disney announced that they were going to pull the plug on the Narnia franchise, which I will say it should be worth noted, they made this decision official on Christmas Eve of all times. So no matter how you feel about the subject, you have to admit that that's really fucking cold on their part to do. Seriously, dude, I was like, God damn, that's cold. That's the first thing I said when I read that, when that was announced. But yeah, 20th Century Fox has announced they are going to step in and save Narnia's ass. They are going to co-distribute and distribute, yada, 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 Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
No!
And so let's hear Phil's for his opinion. I loved... Peter had a brilliant theory. Peter, who's he's my partner in crime on the website. He said when this happened, he said, you know what would be brilliant is if Warner Brothers and Legendary stepped into and they took it. And he said there you would have Warner Brothers, Legendary Pictures, and they made a bunch of films together, and Walden, and there would be three different companies that would split the cost three ways, and it would be a lot less of a risk. You know, and if it doesn't do well, then it would be a noble failure. I'm sorry?
then Warner Brothers would own Narnia, Potter, and The Hobbit.
Right. Along with, you know, Batman, Superman, the DC Comics universe, and another character who we'll get to in a few minutes. I mean, it was a brilliant theory, and of course that didn't work out. Apparently 20th Century Fox, they have some kind of a first right to refusal deal with Walden, since they've made quite a few films with them in the past, films that were not very successful. So I guess they figure, you know, I'm sorry?
What films were they?
It was like the Darks.
The Dark is Rising. God.
Yes, The Dark is Rising, and something else they've done in the past together. They've done a couple of other films together that just didn't do well. I can't recall.
City of Ember. Aragorn, is that what it is?
I think Aragorn was one of them. I don't remember. That might not have been a part of Walden. I want to say it was, though.
Right. Well, I don't know. All I know is, Jamie, that I've said it before. I'll say it again because it sounds so good.
Yes.
Fox make movies for teenagers with short attention spans. They do not care one bit about a director's vision. All they care about is making release dates and making what they think will make the most money. And what they think will make the most money is movies that are under 100 minutes for teenagers with short attention spans. And that's how I feel about it. Now, having said that, Narnia could be one of those franchises that needs to be shorter, because Prince Caspian was really, really fucking boring.
I didn't watch it. I heard it was very boring, and I mean, you know, I mean, let's give credit where it's due. Fox has said this thing is coming out November, December of 2010. That's the goal. That proves right then and there they know what the fuck they're doing, because the decision to put Prince Caspian during the summer was boneheaded.
True.
On Disney's part. They should have never done that. And I realized they originally were going to put it out during Christmas 07. Well, and then they couldn't make the release date because of all the effects. That's fine. You know what you do? You put it in Christmas of 08. You don't put it during the summer. That was retarded. That's why that movie underperformed as badly as it did. It wasn't because it was boring. It was because nobody wanted to see it during the summer. I mean, Iron Man was kicking ass. It had already pretty much destroyed Speed Racer, and then Indiana Jones 4 was the next big thing, and they were crunched in the middle.
But of course, you know, that's the thing about this business. If everybody knew what was going to happen,
true, that's true,
everything would pan out fine. Nobody knew Iron Man was going to be
But everyone knew Indiana Jones 4 was going to be $300 million plus grosser. Everyone knew that, and yet they still said we're opening the week before. That was stupid.
I guess so. I think they thought they were a more kid-friendly movie, which they were, and they were in a PG. They weren't a PG-13. I don't know, man. You're right. It was stupid. All I know is that
I have said the story before. I went the day that The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe opened. I had just finished that semester at university. And a friend of mine and I were going to go see Siriana, which opened the same day in the States. And I was waiting for him. And literally the local – it must have been a Catholic school. They closed their school just to go see Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe at noon. And I called them up and I said, get over here like ASAP, dude, because this is fucked up. There's an entire school that's literally – everyone's here to watch this movie. I just thought that was so fucked up. I mean, I'm not criticizing it for. I just thought fucked up in the way like, wow, I've never seen this before. That's just crazy. It was just, and you know, just wow. I mean, and those. I mean, Disney thought like those same people, church going people, would flock to see a Narnia movie any time of the year as long as it was a Narnia movie. That was their mindset. I mean, that was pretty much why they put it out during summer. Said, oh, they'll still show up, and they didn't. That was stupid on their part.
I think it actually.
And they deserve to have. And they deserve to get bitten in the ass by that. But by that point, by all indications, they knew Caspian was going to underperform. They already knew this at this point. So it was sort of a. Didn't really matter at that anyway.
No, I completely agree with you. I think the first Narnia film, it was released pretty close to Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. And I think it made almost as much or the same domestically. As the Harry Potter.
It made it. You're right. I think it made like $295, and Potter made like $289 or something. It was a couple of bucks, couple of million bucks between them.
So if you
could
stand toe-to-toe with Potter, you pretty much think you're invincible, I suppose. You can take on Iron Man.
Yes, I guess. Iron Who? Well, I mean, Speed Racer, let's be fair, I don't think anybody ever thought that was going to be a big moneymaker. Everyone thought, like, either it would underperform, do meh business, or it would just outright fail, and it failed. So, wasn't really that much of a shock.
To be polite.
Yeah, to be polite. Yeah, but that's just one where you go, man, why did you invest $100 million in that movie? Like, where's the audience? And the answer is, there is none. So, referring to Speed Racer.
If this new Narnia movie, when's it coming? Christmas 2010, did you say?
They said holidays, so that's going to mean November or December. But let's be fair, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 is coming out in November of 2010, so I'm going to go ahead and say we're looking at December, is my guess.
What about Hobbit?
Hobbit is coming out, like, they haven't really, I think it's November, or I think it's Christmas 2000. I know it's 2011. It's the end of the year. I don't know if it's Christmas or Thanksgiving. It's going to be one or the other. And or you know, they might be like Potter and put it out right before Thanksgiving and then put something else out for Christmas, which we've heard might happen. Don't know.
Oh, well, it's on the plus side, it's nice that the kids – two of the kids, because the other two aren't in this one. It's nice that they actually get to do this film. You know,
and Ben Barnes, you know. I mean, I just think it's so funny that they really went after and pimped him so hard for Prince Caspian, and yet it didn't mean anything.
No.
I mean, he was the face of that ad campaign. It meant absolutely nothing.
I think plenty of people only went because he was hot, or they think he's hot, you know. Which I can't disagree with in the way that I can comment upon it. He's a good-looking man. I can say that.
There's nothing wrong with that, man. Meh. Don't know. It's not, you know. Oh, well.
Yeah. Let's be honest. We're not really emotionally invested in the next Narnia
film.
It's just interesting.
I don't give a shit about Narnia. I enjoyed the first one. I thought it was a great family movie, a great kids film. In the same vein of like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and shit like that, and the Goonies and stuff like that. I thought it was great in that sense. But it felt very long.
Plenty of people care about the Narnia series because the books have been around for a long time. So it's nice that they get this film. I doubted even when it was at Disney that they were ever going to do all of them. Not a chance.
They still won't. Let's be honest. It's still not happening. I mean, it's going to be like maybe the fourth one. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it might be one of those things where like kind of like when a TV show's on one network and it gets canceled and then another network buys it and then it becomes huge and it makes the old network look stupid, like JAG or something. This could be JAG, folks.
If you say so, I'm not really a JAG man.
Well, I'm not either. But like that's the one that comes to mind where like they put it on NBC for like a year or a year and a half. They shit canned it. CBS said we'll take it, and then suddenly it exploded. Like it became like this, you know, show that was on TV for 10 years. So I was like, wow. Like, hey NBC, I bet you feel stupid.
I remember that. I remember that fine television show Baywatch was originally show for, and then that got cancelled, and then they syndicated it, and it became the most widely watched television show in the world. Don't ask me how I know that. It's just a piece of knowledge that I read in a TV facts book in my media studies library. I've never seen the show, unfortunately.
What are you reading, Phil? I'm reading for my class. Like, and they look at the book and it's like, you know, the history of television shows, and you're just like, I need to read this.
Yeah. Baywatch, page 172 with pics. Yes.
Exactly. I'm waiting for the Baywatch pop-up book. That would have been a huge seller.
Goggles.
There you go, dude.
The goggles, like, they do nothing.
Yes, folks, in a podcast we reference The Simpsons, Baywatch, JAG, and Narnia.
I only do that because it makes you laugh.
Oh, thank you.
I love to make you laugh, Jamie.
It was funny. You know, I say that unbiasedly. It was pretty fucking funny.
What's next?
Speaking of Fox, speaking of other franchises that no one cares about, we thought no one cared about, news came out this week that Warner Brothers is getting together and doing a Tomb Raider reboot.
Oh, good.
You know, I mean, it's funny because it all kind of circulated at once. I mean, after Wanted came out this past summer, or last summer, and made a surprisingly high amount of money, I think there were rumors at that time, like, hey, maybe we should do – Paramount's like, maybe we should do another, you know, Tomb Raider movie, and then nothing really went beyond that. And then last week, some random Spanish news website claimed that Megan Fox was being courted by Paramount to do a third Tomb Raider film. They denied the shit out of it, and then like 2 days later – you know, the trades announced that, well, Paramount doesn't have it, Warner Brothers has it, they're making a reboot film with Dan Lin. And for people who don't know, I mean, it should be said, Dan Lin is the guy who almost made Justice League happen. This is the guy pushing to fuck the Batman and Superman franchises just to make a stupid Justice League movie. I don't think people are aware of this. Some people are, some people aren't. It should be said, this is the guy who almost destroyed... Well, yeah... Well, I mean, basically, long story short, you know, he's producing now, and he's got a producer title on Terminator Salvation. He's producing Sherlock Holmes. He's doing really great. But it's funny how like none of his producing gigs have anything to do with like Batman or Superman now. Warner Brothers has conveniently said, "We'll get other people. Here's something else."
Yeah.
You know, so he's obviously doing really well with Terminator Salvation, but. Or will do well with that in Sherlock Holmes, among other properties. But yeah, Tomb Raider, I don't give a shit about this. I think I can safely say no one gives a shit about this.
You are correct, sir, and I'll tell you exactly why. Well, first of all, let me just say, Megan Fox can't act with her own accent, so how the hell she'd do with a British one is completely beyond me. I think it would be pretty much like Chinese water torture on screen. So I'm glad that she's not going to be a part of it. Secondly, I'd be glad that Angelina Jolie wouldn't be a part of it because she's too old now. I'm sorry, but I'm starting.
Well, actually, I disagree. She's the age of the character, though. I mean, the character's supposed to be like kind of like Superman and Batman. I'm bringing them up yet again, where it's like their age is a little ambiguous, but it's supposed to be like late 20s, early 30s ish. I don't think they specifically say the age, and Angelina Jolie's in her early 30s or mid 30s. So I think she's the right age. I just don't think I think it's a matter of she doesn't want to do it anymore and no one wants her involved anyway.
Well, fair enough. I disagree. I do think she is looking very much late 30s now, but that's just the way I feel.
Well, she's too skinny. She's too skinny, and she was never a good
look like the character.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when she was cast back in 2000, I remember thinking even then, like, that's, you know, at the time she was known as that weird goth chick who was John Voight's daughter and just won an Oscar, not as the chick who fucks Brad Pitt and has his babies and adopts one baby from every country in the world. You know, I mean, it's funny how, perception changes.
I know who I'd want to play her. And she'd never do it because she's on a roll right now. She's too damn good for it, but she's perfect for it, in my opinion.
I think I know who you're going to say. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Please, do tell me who you think I'm going to
say. No. Go ahead.
No, please. I want to hear. Come on. Tell me.
I'm trying to get her name right, but Rhonda Mitra, I think her name is.
No. I don't know anything about her, unfortunately. I've never seen her in anything. No, the lady who I think should do it is... what's her name? I'll tell you what she's been. I think her name's Rebecca Hall. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh, her? Wow.
She's in the new film.
She's in Stanza. She's in a lot of
Prestige. She was in Frost Nixon. She's doing so much right now. She's on a real role. She's naturally British, so we don't have to worry about an American actress trying to fake a British accent and it being distracting. She looks like the character. She's got that same kind of ageless quality right now that you're talking about. I think she's perfect for it, but she's too good for it, so she's never going to do it. But I think
she's a character actress. I mean, let's be fair here. I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure we talked about this last week, and if we didn't, I apologize. But you know, studios right now are making actors take pay cuts, and certain actors it's going to be a lot harder for some actors and others to take a pay cut. And let's be honest, I mean, they're going to want a lesser-known actress who's going to be willing to take smaller paychecks. I mean, this is the smarter move to get someone like her because, yeah, she's getting high-profile gigs, but she still hasn't really, quote, broken out yet. Excuse me. So, yeah, that's a good choice. Another choice I heard someone say was Megan Gale, who, for you people don't remember, was cast as the ill-fated, thank whatever god you worship, didn't get made Justice League film. You know, She actually has the look too. I mean, I could see that. And actually, as I recall, and, you know, I have to get my facts straight. She had signed some kind of deal with Warner Brothers, some kind of like a 3-picture deal with them. Even after Justice League fell through, she still had some kind of contract with them. So, you know, hey, maybe this could be it. I don't know, just
clarify,
an idea.
Because I know it sounds suspicious on the radio. When I made that grunting sound when he said Megan Gale, I wasn't creaming myself. I was, you know, sighing in frustration. Because
yeah, I didn't notice. I didn't think you were, like, coming or anything.
No,
I thought
know
you were
didn't, but you never know what people out there think in Radio Land. I just wanted to clarify it because, as I've said to Jamie before, I actually told Jamie this much to his surprise and amazement. He didn't know. Megan Gale is not an actress. She is
an Australian
supermodel, so I'm sure she'd like to get into acting, and many supermodels do go into acting and go on to great things. Sometimes they're very talented. I'm just saying that she's been a TV presenter, but she's not an actress.
See, I didn't know that. That's right, because that's right. That's the part I didn't know was I knew the model part. I did not know the TV presenter part.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And not even a regular TV presenter, just little guest spots.
It was like kind of like an
program.
Travel program.
That's what it was, yes.
George Miller really wanted to fuck her, and for that I salute him, because you know, I don't believe him. I really don't, dude. It's like, Superman, you're wonderful.
It's fair enough. But Tomb Raider, absolutely. I think nobody cares right now, and I'll tell you why nobody cares. This isn't really the time when you make a Tomb Raider movie, or when they make any video game movie, is when the game is in the public consciousness and people are, you know, really, really, it's on the brain. You know, they made the Super Mario Brothers movie when Super Mario Brothers, Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter movies really close to when those games came out, so they were fresh in the mind and they were hits. Well, no, Street Fighter wasn't a hit, I correct myself, but you can understand why they made it. And, you know, all the talk of Halo and getting that made, you know, it was when they were trying to get it to coincide with the release of Halo 3, and Halo was the biggest thing in the world, so it makes sense. Tomb Raider right now is on its last friggin' legs. I'm telling you, I got the new game, Underworld, and it sucks.
Didn't it bomb or something?
It's
or
underperformed.
It's underperformed, okay.
Very high expectation sales figures for it. Or I don't know how high their expectations were, but it hasn't met them. Because I'm guessing that a lot of people read the reviews of this one. The reviews have been lukewarm at best. And they decided this time, no, I'm not going to give it my money. I unfortunately am a sucker. And I did get it. I asked for it for Christmas and I got it for Christmas. And it sucks. And right now, I couldn't care less about another Tomb Raider game. I was a fan. They got me back, and now I'm out again. And I couldn't give two shits about a Tomb Raider movie.
Nice.
It's the wrong time for it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've heard other people say, you know, if this upcoming Street Fighter / Chun-Li movie bombs, then this will be put on the shelf indefinitely. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, I didn't. Yeah, it's dead. I mean, you know, they're saying right now, I mean, the basic thing is they're just going to hear out writers, hear out directors with ideas, approaches, how to pull this off. I mean, I could see that. I could see this still happening. You know, I don't think this is something that just absolutely will not get made.
Well, I'll give her this. Tomb Raider, everybody knows Tomb Raider. Everybody knows Lara Croft. She's pretty, pretty well known. She's pretty up there. So they might have a chance. I don't know. If you don't mind,
maybe,
Jamie, I'd just like to segue into something here. Just a little news item that means a lot to me.
Go ahead.
The fact that the Street Rider movie is coming out, which I keep forgetting about, there's one good thing about it. It's finally the chance for us to judge and to gauge the screenwriting talents of a fellow who wrote it called Justin Marks, who has also apparently written a Voltron script. Voltron is another big robot that will never get made, probably. And he's also written a script for a He-Man movie. And that movie has been on and
He-Man.
Off again.
He-Man!
Thank you. That was great. That was great. Saves me doing it. I'm not going to do the rest of it. I'll break my microphone. You've really got to yell it if you're going to do the whole I have the power bit.
I didn't. Oh, you see, I never watched. That was another one of those things that I never watched the show as a child. No, not at all. I just never got into it. There's certain shows I just didn't get into. Same thing with Transformers. Just wasn't my thing. I was more aware of the movie, the Masters of the Universe, Dolph Lundgren, Frank Langella film than I was. I mean, I liked that
Langella.
As a kid. Yes, Academy Award nominee, Frank Langella.
You know, I just want to say, Jamie, just really quickly, for the past couple of years, I was under the impression that Langella was embarrassed about that movie, and it was like, if there's one thing on his CV that he'd like to black out, it would be that. And he, considering what an amazing career he's had, I was completely wrong.
That's right. He likes that movie.
He likes
which
that
is
movie.
Awesome.
He had so much, he said he has a blast playing Skeletor, and I had a blast watching him. He's amazing in that film. I think he's awesome. It was great to hear that he's actually proud of it.
That's. I agree. I mean, you know, probably got paid good. You know, could have been a steady gig for him if it had Masters of the Universe done well. It didn't, so we'll never know. But yeah, I think it's awesome actually.
And also on another tiny little segue because this really. Sticks in my crotch. The only reason they actually were able to make that Masters of the Universe movie was because of money that Canon, the film group that made it, stole from Superman 4 and its budget. And so they were able to make another movie and they made Masters of the Universe.
That's why Masters of the Universe doesn't look cheap. That's why compared to Superman 4.
It's a good looking movie. I agree.
It is a good looking movie. Shit. I mean, like, and then compare it to Superman, like, oh, Superman 4, oh my god.
It's
funny.
Not easy on the eyes.
It is funny.
Superman 4.
Oh god, yes, no. Sure, I mean, it's intentions well, but that's about it.
But you know what? It's just like, He-Man, look, I love He-Man, and I probably will see this movie if it gets made.
I don't think so.
No.
Nope.
It's kind of like a new Conan movie. It's the two going hand in hand. They've been trying to make those two for so long. It's been on again, off again, on again, off again. This script, apparently, the Tino Review gave it a great review. Of course, they also gave the Transformers 1 script an A+ or an A- or something and said it was miracle.
Oh.
Yes, they did. And it was the shooting script, just so you know. So, I don't know, man, but I don't think this is going to get made. And to be honest, I don't think it'll work.
There are certain movies that like gain a lot of momentum and they talk the shit out of it. You think it's gonna get made, they announce it, and then they don't happen. And like, I've noticed it with Warner Brothers lately a lot. It's, the Akira movie that they were gonna do two.
Yeah!
They were gonna do like a two film series and it was gonna be live action, mostly green screen, never happened, and it just completely disappeared. And there was serious momentum on that project and it just poof, disappeared.
Robotech movie, yeah.
Exactly. Well, technically, I mean, like, we were hearing some, like, you know, Tobey Maguire's production company was behind it. Toby was thinking about maybe starring in it. Larry Kasdan was brought in. They just recently brought in the Smallville creators, former executive producer showrunners, to work on the script. That's probably not going to happen. Actually, Chuck Roven, the producer, just admitted the other day to our pals over at IESB that he's off the project. And it's like, well, why would you get off the project, buddy? You're a big-time producer. You've got a shitload of clout at Warner Brothers. Is it because your plate's full? No. I'm sorry?
He's abandoning ship.
Exactly. Or he's abandoning a shipping sink is what it is. I mean, you know, hey, I could be wrong, but I don't see why Chuck Roven would get off that on his own free will unless he knew it was unless it was dead.
Do you remember they were talking about that Smurfs trilogy? Where the hell's that?
Odd. Yeah, so I mean, this is just another one. Like, you know, like with Tomb Raider, I think that has a chance of happening. T-Man, no.
Nope.
I just don't see it.
And I don't think it should. I just don't think it's going to work. On the other hand, Thundercats.
Okay.
Thundercats, I can see working in live action. I really, really think it's got a good chance. They have to adapt it slightly, but I think it could really, really work. That's another one. I remember they said we're going to make... First of all, they were going to make a TV show, which was in no way like Thundercats. They were going to be a rock band set in the present day or in the future, and they had kind of animal powers, but they were a rock band, and it had nothing to do with Thundercats. They'd just stolen the name. That never happened.
Right.
Then they said the director of Gears of War, which is a video game, by the way, not a film, was going to make a new Thundercats movie. We've heard nothing about that. But
right.
Thundercats, I could see working.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like you talk about Justin Marks. I mean, he's had this reputation of these films, these screenplays that get a lot of traction and then nothing happens. I mean, the one that kind of got him out there was the infamous Supermax script that is, you know, I just flat out don't think that's going to get made whatsoever. I mean, that had a chance of happening. It didn't.
You might want to explain that to the people, Jamie, because they might not know what Supermax is.
That is the Green Arrow in prison movie, which is a great – I think it's a great concept for a film, and it's something that they were saying like we can make for probably $40, $50 million. They were looking at it as possibly filling in the gap for 2009. They can make it pretty fast. Made a lot of sense, so of course it never happened. You know, and also like after Dark Knight opened, you think they would have immediately greenlit it because it was Goyer and David Goyer was the other writer on board. They brought Goyer in to help rewrite the script and work with Marx on it, and then that never happened. Again, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, when there's a perfect time to do certain things and they don't do it, you can already tell. Like an example, another example that comes to mind is when you know, Shazam didn't get made. Like Peter Siegel signed up for Shazam, then he signed up to do Get Smart. Also with Warner Brothers, went off and made that. That opened. It was a huge – you know, Get Smart was a huge hit. It was a pretty good movie that surprised people. That should have been the moment to greenlight Shazam and go ahead and make it. And when they didn't, it was pretty clear at that point, like, okay, they're just not going to make it because this would have been the perfect time to do it. They didn't. So.
Such is the business.
It is, exactly. But I never thought that was
a – film that gets made, 10 don't.
Yeah, I mean, that was something I never expected to get made anyway, with Shazam. I was like, yeah, that'll happen, you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
But anyway.
We're over an hour, Jamie. Is there anything urgent we should talk about, or do you think we should wrap up?
It's up to you, man. We can talk about a few more things.
I think we should wrap up tonight. I mean, I don't mind doing another show with you sometime in the week if there's urgent things, or we should save it till next week. But we should keep it tight.
We should keep it tight, but let's do one more thing. Okay. This is an interesting story. And this goes back to what we were talking about earlier. This week, it came out that Emily Blunt is going to join the cast of Gulliver's Travel, which is going to be a modern reimagining of the old novel. Set in modern times, starring Jack Black. I think Jason Segel just signed on. Nick Stoller, who did last year's great Forgetting Sarah Marshall's directing it. What's funny is that apparently it looks like Emily Blunt might have to back out of Iron Man 2 because of the commitment to this movie, even though she was already committed.
No!
You heard it? Yeah, it's because she signed an option. She signed up – well, I mean, basically, long story short, she did Devil Wears Prada with 20th Century Fox. Presumably, she signed the contract back in 2005. There was an option in that contract that they could, you know, use her in another movie. Now that Iron Man 2 and Gulliver's Travel are shooting about pretty much around the same time, Fox might exercise that option, which would force her not to do Iron Man 2.
Do you know?
And I know people are going to scream for the heads of Fox, but let's be fair here. Emily Blunt signed that contract, and this is common practice. So it's not like it's big bad Fox. I mean, you know, maybe there might be a little bit of that in there, but still, she agreed to this deal. And they're trying to work around this contract anyway. They're trying to work it out so that she can, in fact, do both movies. But either way, she'll be fine. So, you know, I'm not really worried about it, but it's certainly an interesting news item to bring up.
No, and it's not like she's the only person in the world that can play the black. There's plenty of sexy bombshells that they can do a good Russian accent. All I know is, Jamie, the Iron Man 2 cast, to me, it resembles a jigsaw that somebody keeps kicking. I'm putting the jigsaw in place. Imagine I'm the Iron Man 2 casting director. I'm putting this lovely jigsaw in place. It's looking all lovely. And then every 5 minutes, some fucker just keeps kicking it up in the air.
We don't even know Mickey Rourke's going to do it. Again. Yeah, no. I mean, Mickey Rourke might not do it. I mean, it's just – it's up in the air, which is – odd.
What about Sam Rockwell then? Is he the only one that is going
to
do it?
He's doing it. I seem to remember an interview where he acknowledged that it was a done deal. I might have been with MTV. Correct me if I'm wrong on that one, folks. But I seem to remember him saying, like, yeah, he's definitely in.
I would know because I can't get it on MTV. Cause they
yeah, fuck MTV.
Somebody outside of the U.S.
Somebody doesn't want his MTV, apparently. Yeah.
Fuck him. Oh, well, you know, she'll be fine. She'll be fine. You want to throw out an alternative casting then? Who should play it? Megan Gale?
I was thinking of Megan Gale, but I wasn't going to say that loud. Yeah, I mean, that's the only one I could think of, but I don't really have – I'm not really very attached to that character or that franchise. I've said it before. I'll say it again. You know, I liked Iron Man a lot. I thought Downey was awesome. I have not seen it since the opening night. And I liked what I saw, but I didn't feel the need to watch it again. It wasn't like something like WALL-E or Dark Knight or, you know, some other summer tentpole where I was just like, yeah, I buy the DVD and I watch certain scenes again. I'm not that way whatsoever with Iron Man.
No, but it's you will watch it again, I'm sure, and you'll
Oh, certainly.
You don't watch a lot of movies, really, do you, Jamie? Neither do I right now. I don't have the time. I'm putting together all these friggin' videos.
I don't have the time right now.
No.
It's not a matter of like not wanting to, but also, you know, I mean, there's still some Oscar movies I have not – Oscar nominee films I have not seen that I want to. It's all about making the time.
When are the Oscars this year, Jamie?
I believe it's like the fourth weekend of February. So the last Sunday in February. If you remember, they used to be at the end of March or the beginning of April, and they moved it up, starting with Lord of the Rings: Return of the King. So the voting time is a lot, you know, not nearly as.
It's just that I imagine we'll want to make some predictions. So I guess we don't have long.
No, we don't have long. But the funny thing is, it looks like this is going to be a pretty predictable year, and the only thing that's going to be unpredictable is like how will Jackman be, I guess, is the big thing everyone's wondering. And that's what I think it's, you know, again, when they announced him, I thought that was a great choice. It was thinking outside the box. It was going for something different, which they said they were trying to anyway. Great. You know, let's see how he does.
Isn't that a terrible comment on the Oscars, though, Jamie, when actually hiring somebody, an actual actor, is considered thinking outside of the box to host the Oscars instead of a comedian?
Well, these people, the ones who've been hosting lately, they have been actors. They have done movies in the past. Let's be fair here. You mean one who still has a career?
You asked Jon Stewart, he wouldn't say he was an actor, would he?
He does play a character on his show every night. Let's be fair. It's not like he's, you know. Like, same thing with Colbert. Like, if you put Stephen Colbert at the Oscars, he'd be, you know, he was an actor before, and he puts on a certain persona, certain characterization when he does the Colbert show every night. The Colbert Report, I'm sorry.
Do you know who I'd like to see host it?
Who?
Eddie Murphy. Do you know why?
Wow.
Because
just seem in a fat suit?
No. You're being ridiculous, please. a Destro head, perhaps? You know, I don't know. Because it would be the final test for him. Either it proves the guy still got talent, or it would be the final nail in his coffin.
He's still got talent. He just doesn't give a shit anymore.
I don't think so.
He's made so much money over this. He just doesn't need it, and he doesn't care.
No.
Like, he's not even trying to pretend to care anymore. That's the way I see it.
Though, he said no to Beverly Hills Cop 4, and I respect him if nothing else.
That's funny, because I haven't heard anything about that. I remember they announced it.
Again,
that's
going to get made.
That was another one. They announced it, and then, like, you know, they announced all these people, like, so-and-so's writing it, and, so you know, Ratner was directing it. It was actually the guys who were wanted were brought on board to write it. Murphy, and that's it. I mean, like, we've heard nothing. It looks like he actually turned it down? He did?
He said he just had no interest in doing it, or something like that. As far as I know,
awesome.
Could be wrong.
That's great.
Yeah,
I'm all for that. I mean, it can't be any worse than. I'm not gonna say that.
Well, I guess that's it, isn't it?
I was gonna say something else, but it would have pissed Phil off. So I'm just not even gonna. I'm gonna let Phil assume what I was gonna say.
Nothing could piss me off. Considering how badly behaved I was last week, you can say whatever you like.
Dude. Okay, I was going to say, it can't be any worse than Beverly Hills Cop 3.
No, see, I'm over it. I've been taking sessions. I've got a therapist. I'm handling it one day at a time. You can say it quite freely. Just don't talk about any specific scene. Just don't talk about the fucking Ferris wheel scene. You don't mention that, I'll be fine.
You got it.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Yes.
Well... with that note, folks, this
what
has
a fun
been
show.
It's been fun. It's been a little longer than usual, but that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. Third show. It is Super Bowl. Super Bowl starts in a couple hours in my neck of the woods, and I'll probably order some food in at my house. So I don't have a party. I'm not planning on throwing a party or anything at my place. So it's just going to be me. But it's all right.
But for those of you who are, like I say, have a wonderful pop and chip party. I assume that's what you guys do over there.
Yeah, people, you know, it's funny. I mean, people, it doesn't seem to be the big thing right now about, the game. I mean, like, everyone's looking forward to the game, but it's not like everyone has. People I've talked to aren't really particularly into this particular game. Like, last year, it was fucking, I heard everyone's opinion on the game last year. Not so much now.
And also, they've already seen the spots. They've already seen all these TV spots, so there's no real point in. It's not like, you know, when that Hulk spot first debuted, it's not like we've got to watch it because we're going to see the Hulk for the first time. They've already fucking seen
There's
it.
Still shit. There's still shit we haven't seen. I mean, for all we know, we could get some other random TV. I mean, fuck, maybe they'll put a Sherlock Holmes spot out. No, they won't.
No.
But still, I mean, you know, you never know. Actually, I take that back. We do know. There's not going to be a Sherlock Holmes spot.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, we'll see what happens. Maybe, you know what? Maybe there'll be a Public Enemies TV spot, you know?
Well,
that'd be awesome.
I hope it's everything you guys hope it will be.
Well, well, thank you, sir. And hopefully we'll have some awesome news to report back to you next week on Movie Moan here at ThinkMcFlyThink.com. This has been Jamie Williams. Phil? Sign her out, sir.
Thank you very much, everybody. We've had a lot of fun. Keep on moaning.